learning this remarkable letter in the pages that you have. We're learning this letter that Rav Kook sent to Rav Isaac Halevi, the author of Doris Rishonim. The underlying yesod of the letter is, of course, that Torah, the klal of Torah, lo b'shamayim hi, which the Rambam established as a firm klal in all of halacha, is not a davar muskan among all the Rishonim. Meaning, of course, as we'll see, and Rav Kook himself explains, there is a principle, Torah lo b'shamayim hi, but there are exceptions. The main distinction that we've been learning is between Teres Chutz Laretz and Teres Eretz Yisrael. There's Teres Chutz Laretz, halacha is halacha. And halacha is the product of human intellect. And there's a very clear barrier that divides between halacha and agada. Agada is influenced by something beyond human intellect, even in Chutz Laretz, of course. But once we get to Eretz Yisrael, in the world of the Yerushalmi, in the world of the Zohar Kaddish, there's already a clear infiltration of Shemayim into that world of Shemayim, of Ruach HaKadosh, even of Nevuah, into the Torah of the Chachamim of Chachme Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Kook discusses this in many places. Again, we're learning a few pages from the Sefer Torah HaRoeh, which is very basic and very simple. We're going to be learning a little Tanakh today, just a little Tanakh. Rav Kook wrote about this in many, many places. Rav Kook and Rav Tzadik, this is a yesod in all of their teachings, the two kahanim. It's a very big yesod in all of their teachings. Here already Rav Kook points out the obvious differences between even the style of the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. That's what we were learning last week. Whereas the Bavli is ma'arech, the Bavli is very, very long. And the length of the Bavli, Chazal themselves say that it's a Torah where there's a tirdu, where it's hard, it's exhausting to get to the maskana. Mashena came to Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi is in that same union, in that same sugya, the Yerushalmi is very, very brief. The Yerushalmi is very brief, and we spoke about that last week, why that is, and that's the hashpah of Ruach HaKadosh and hashpah of Nevuah, where the truth is much more evident than a Chutz Laretz. Chutz Laretz is a world of chayshach, of darkness, but machashakim ha'yishivani kimeisei olam, it says in Pasuk, it's a dark place in Chutz Laretz, so therefore the chachamim have to grope around in the darkness to find their way. And finding one's way in the darkness, you have to go sometimes in a way that's not straight to where you have to where, what your destination is. You have to dray around. Of course, even the draying around is very, very holy. We're talking about the Chacham. But the Yerushalmi, the Torah Eretz Yisrael, is Tzidim Zach. Goes straight to the destination. Since there is this unbelievable and mysterious hashpah of Nevuah, which is the sheet that Tosis and other Rishonim were not as strict in their interpretation of Torah lo b'shamayim hi as the Rambam. And we'll see that the Rambam himself, of course, agrees that there is a kesher between Ruach HaKadosh and Torah Shebaal Peh. It's just not as strong and not as obvious, not as open as Tosis and some of the other Rishonim. So we're towards the end of that letter, and the pages, so it's page of Kufay and Ches, so the pages that you have, it's on page 3 on the right hand side on the bottom, where it says V'yei Shloimeh.
Shayach
Aliba de Kulei Alma. Rav Kook says that there are situations in halacha where everybody agrees that we apply the principle of Torah Lo Bishamayim Hi, where it's a davar, where it's a davar muskum, and nobody argues. Where is that? So Cook says, again, he only mentions this here, he doesn't go into it at length. In other places he goes into it more. He says, in a situation where she'ein shom shum tzad makam safik al pisvar sa'in, where there doesn't appear to be any question or debate regarding the logic of a particular inyan, of a particular question in halacha, and how that maskana is reached, so then we say, lo b'shamayim hi, we don't introduce something with Ruach HaKodesh that is opposed to the logic, to the obvious logical conclusion of that situation, of that question that the Chacham were dealing with. And that's Aliba de Kulei Alma. Avol b'mokam, or there's no suffix at all, there's others that the that we'll discuss this, that there's a complete consensus among the Chacham that the halach is a certain way. Avol b'mokam sheish al pi'iu in mishar she'atayr ha'ksuva o'y ha'mesura stodei suffix. However, in the situation, in a situation where there's a suffix, in other words, there's a suffix regarding a mesura that was received, that was handed down. The mesura is not clear. The tradition that was received is not clear. There are questions. It's vague. There's disagreement and so on regarding that mesura, or how to use one of the principles of Torah Shebaal Peh, which happens very often. It's lav dafka. According to the Shitas HaTosfos, there can be, in such a situation, again, we're not going to go into the problem of this right now, how and when, but there can be in such a situation an introduction of Torah that comes min HaShemayim, with a bas kol, with a voice that comes from Shemayim, or through the intervention of a Navi and so on. You know that when Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter, so many, many halachas were forgotten. There are different texts regarding the number, but many, many halachas were forgotten in the darkness following the Ptira, the stalkers of Moshe Rabbeinu. And these halachas needed to be restored to Am Yisrael. And the Gemara, beginning of Tamura, discussed in a number of places, the Gemara is wondering, how did we retrieve the lost chunk of halacha? There's a lot of halacha that was lost after Moshe Rabbeinu's Ptira. So what happened to these halachas? Were they discussed in the Beis Medrash, meaning that they weren't entirely forgotten, it's just that there was some lack of clarity or certainty regarding the maskanas in the absence of Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore they were the subject of debate in the Beis Medrash, or was Mamash Nishtachu? They didn't remember, they couldn't remember at all, they couldn't put the pieces together at all. So this is itself a very, very big subject in the Gemara. So there is a disagreement. Were they completely forgotten? Or was it possible through the koch of Pilpul, through the debate of the Chachamim, was it possible to reconstruct? There was enough that was still left, and they would be able to reconstruct through the give and take of the base of the Beis Medrash. So, but Rav Kook says, El Shahayim Me'eis Hashem. However, it was Me'eis Hashem. It was because of Hashem's obvious will that Ba'ascholas Netiyas Tarisha Ba'alpeh. It was the question that Rav Kook is addressing here, is that according to the view of Chazal that says that there was an interest in reconstructing the halacha with the use of prophecy, with the use of nevuah. There was that possibility that the halacha could be retrieved with Yehoshua and the power of prophecy. Nevertheless, this was not what was done. This is not what took place. And instead, we find that it was restored through the use of pilpul chacham, through the use of human logic and debate. And the question is, why not allow Nevuah? Why not allow Yeshua just to say Rabbi Isai? This is the halacha. These are the halachas that were forgotten. And now we can continue on with our observance of Torah Mitzvahs by use of prophecy. Why was it necessary? Why was it necessary, according to this view, why was it necessary to reject the intervention of something which was supernatural, of something beyond this world, and to rely entirely upon Chachmas HaTorah, to rely entirely upon human wisdom? Why? If according to Tosfos, there are times when we're in the dark and it's acceptable to use information that comes from above, it seems that that would have been a perfect opportunity. After Moshe Rabbeinu died, let's say 300, according to that view, 300 halachas were lost. 1,000 halachas were lost, they're different gears, but many, many halachas were lost. So this could have been revealed through prophecy, and everything would have been fine. According to the view of Tosfos, according to the Rambam, we understand that the Rambam would say, what do you thought? There's not even a question. But according to the broader interpretation of Torah Lo Bishamayim, not the strict interpretation, why not? Why not allow for prophetic intervention to restore the halachas that were lost upon the death of Moshe Rabbeinu? So if Cook is explaining a very important insight, he says that it was Me'ez Hashem. He says the emes is prophecy has a place in halacha, but it couldn't have a place at that time. Why not at that time? What was extraordinary? What was unusual about that time? So he says, Ela Shahir Me'ez Hashem, Ba'ascholas Nitiyas Torah Shebaal Peh. Remember, this was the beginning of the use of Torah Shebaal Peh. Moshe Rabbeinu is the embodiment of Torah Shebachsav. Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer here. Now we're going to have to interpret Torah Moshe. And we're going to have to use the principles of Torah Shebaal Peh in order to decipher Torah Shebachsav. We're at a point in time when Moshe Rabbeinu died. We're at a point in time where we're crossing over from Moshe Kibel Torah Mesinai Umisaru. You understand? We're crossing over from that time of Moshe receiving the Torah from Hashem and now giving it over to Am Yisrael, and Am Yisrael taking the responsibility, accepting the responsibility to learn Torah Hashem. So the worst thing that could have happened at that time, would be for the Chacham to be completely disrespected, so to speak, and for the Akash Baruch to say, okay, listen, fellas, this one's on me, and to give back the Torah that was lost. Adarabah, in the writings of Rav Tzadik and Rav Kook, it was a very crucial time in the history of Torah. And Davke, at that moment of transitioning from Torah Shebachsav to Torah Shebaal Peh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to demonstrate the power of the Chachamim, the power of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and to empower them by telling them, you could do it. You could do it. In other words, use the koach, use the tools that were given to you through Moshe Rabbeinu, all the tools of Torah Shebaal Peh, Gzei Rishova, Binyon, Kosev Echad, and so on, use the tools of Torah Shebaal Peh. This is what you're going to be doing. This is the responsibility of Am Yisrael that's going to be needed throughout all of the generations. Get to work. If at that point in time there would have been the intervention of Shemayim to keep the welfare program going, so that would have severely, severely undermined the confidence that Am Yisrael would have in the Chachmei Torah Shebaal Peh. It would severely have undermined the authority of the Chachmei Torah Shebaal Peh. Kilo Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, look, you know, You'll do this later on, but this is a serious impasse right now. Moshe Rabbeinu died, so I'll give you all the information now. I'll give you all the notes and everything, and later on you'll see if you can work it out. You know, you'll work on Torah Shavuot Peh. So if Cook says that would have been a very, very dangerous, that would have been a very dangerous intervention of prophecy at a time when everything was depending upon the Chachamim becoming emboldened and having the confidence to be able to live and give life in the absence of Moshe Rabbeinu, without Kadosh Baruch Hu spoon feeding, without Hashem Baruch Hu saying Hikendlach, do this, don't do that, Tomei Torah Muter Oser. That time had ended. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai. Yeshua, the Messiah now needs to be in the hands of the Chachamim. Therefore, at that particular point in time, when we're crossing over from Shemayim, Teres HaShemayim, to Teres HaAretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood back and said, "No, Rabbi Isai, let's see. You're growing up. It's time to grow up. Let's see if you can do it." And the halachas were forgotten. Not only that, but in other places in the writings of the tzaddikim, we see that it was Davka Nisayan. Why were the halachas forgotten? What happened? What had the lights go out when Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter? So there are many explanations of what happened when Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter. But it seems that this was a Nisayan. This was intentional. And it was Hashgacha Me'es Hashem. It was a Hashgacha Me'es Hashem that Am Yisrael needed how to learn, like a kid that rides the bicycle, you have to let go of the bicycle. You let the kid drive. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu let go of the wheel. He let go of the bicycle. And it was terrifying. We had to figure it out ourselves. But that was exactly the Hashgacha process at that moment in time. Not to say that in the future there's no influence of Torah Min HaShamayim. There is the influence of Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, which we'll talk a lot about over the next couple of months. There is a tremendous amount of influence that comes from Shemayim to Eretz in our Limud HaTorah and our understanding of Torah in a subtle way, and sometimes not even so subtle, an outright baskal. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets involved. And it's not all about the Gemara that, you know, everybody, we were raised with the Gemara of Metziyah Nun Tes, that Nitzchuni B'nai, Nitzchuni in Torah, Lo B'Shemayim Hi, and so on. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyochel is sent away from the Beis Medrash. We're not interested in your views. We have our own way of paskening. It's not black and white, as we're going to learn. But at this point in time, crossing over from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua, crossing over from the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael, where it would have been very, very, very easy, very comfortable for Am Yisrael to sit back and say, "Teach us. You gave us the Har Sinai. Don't leave us now." The whole point of what's happening in our lives at that time, what was happening in our lives, because Baruch would say, "Kid, look, there's no more man. I'm not giving you to eat. You got to go to work. I'm not giving you any more. I'm not spoon feeding you the Torah. You got to go to work." We had crossed over from the, we were crossing over from the Midbar, from the desert, to Eretz Yisrael. So what's ironic is that Davka Teres Eretz Yisrael is with the Hashpah from above. That's what's ironic. But at that initial stage in time, at the beginning, at the very beginning of crossing over, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like any good parent, has to know when to step back and to give the kid a chance to prove himself, to build a world for himself. While all of the time, of course, the father, the parent, the mother is standing there back to make sure that everything goes right. So that's what Rav Kook is explaining. It was the beginning of that world of Torah Shebaal Peh, the unfolding of the world of Torah Shebaal Peh. So therefore it was Me'ez Hashem L'chazek Yodom Shel Chachamim, L'chazek Yodom Shel Chachamim, to strengthen the hands, to strengthen the authority and the confidence of the Chachamim. Al Pi HaSeichel HaYoytze MiPilpulo Shel Torah, to trust and to rely upon their ability to use human intellect to come to the conclusions that are necessary in understanding Torah Hashem. But as we're going to learn, That doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the parents, that doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not setting things in a certain direction. But we'll see how Hashem, we see how Hashem Yisbarach does that. I mentioned to you many times, I always think of this marshal that when I was growing up, so my father and I used to play chess. And my father's a very good chess player. And he had this Indian, which he said his father taught him how to play chess, so he taught me how to play chess. And so when I was already very little, he taught me how to play chess. So a clear memory that I have is that it was like a very crucial time in the game, and I would make a move with one of my pieces, and I looked at my father, and my father went to me. Don't do that. He didn't say anything. He just went. And I kept my hand on the piece, and I was thinking. I thought a little bit longer, and then I made a different move. My father was proud of me. So I was thinking it was such a silly thing. Like my father has helped me to beat him, to try to be victorious in this match. So kivyachol the inyan of nitzchuni banai v'kashbaruchu watching how he moved the pieces on the board. Of Teresh Shaval Peh, and occasionally saying no, and then we still have the Chacham still have the hand on the sugya, and then they move it a different way, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu smiles and says good, it's Chuni Benai, my children are victorious. Kadosh Baruch Hu made the children victorious. He has a way of doing that, but the children have to be able to become adults, and the only way for children to become adults is to be able to make their own moves. However, the parents are watching that the kid shouldn't kill himself. You know, even with a kid that's riding the bicycle, which Baruch Hashem, I taught the seven children to ride the bicycle, I would run after them. I wouldn't just say, go down the block, you know, I'll meet you on the Long Island Expressway or something. You run after the kid, you just follow and you stay nearby. So Akash Baruch Hu, at that time in history, crossing over from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua, had to allow us to grow up. And therefore, at that time, for Daddy to come and to say, this is the halacha, this is the halacha is like this. Adarab, Akash Baruch Hu intentionally brought about such a hest upon him that after Moshe Rabbeinu died, we didn't know what we were doing. And he said, no. What's the problem? So he said, we forgot. You're smart, work it out. Moshe Rabbeinu gave you all the stuff that you needed. I gave Moshe Rabbeinu a way to teach you that you should be able to learn Torah Shavuot. You have the tools, get to work. If at that point HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have just said, all right, here it is, it would have been the end of Torah Shavuot. Not the end, it wouldn't have started. We wouldn't have been able to have the ability to learn. So he's explaining, that's why that's Asniel ben Knaz, the first of the Shoiftim. So Chazal tell us that Asniel ben Knaz was a genius. Asniel ben Knaz was a genius. And he had tremendous koch of pilpul. See, here it's interesting, Yeshua becomes silent. Yeshua is too close to Moshe Rabbeinu. You know he's part of the Messiah, but it's fascinating. In the Seder HaMishnah, in Masech Erevin, we don't find Yeshua. In the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Yisim is hardly Yeshua, there you have Yeshua. But in the Derech HaLimud of Torah Shavuot Peh, where in Erevin, where the Gemara lays out how the Torah was taught, so it says the Seder Mishnah, so it says, Moshe Rabbeinu taught to Aaron, to his sons, and then they had they reviewed four times, with all of Bnei Yisrael. But where's Yeshua? Yeshua's missing there, from there. Why would Yeshua be missing? And Asniel ben Knaz is the one that through the Koch of Pilpul reconstructed Halacha. Asniel ben Knaz, not Yeshua. Why is Yeshua missing from the Seder Mishnah in Erevin? Yeshua is the closest Talmud. Right? Yeshua is the closest Talmud. He never left Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Torah says that's exactly why. That's exactly why. Yeshua was Moshe Rabbeinu's gabbai. Moshe Rabbeinu's talmid. Moshe Rabbeinu was an extension of Moshe Rabbeinu. There needed to be a separation from the world of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua would not be perceived as using, even though he himself, of course, was the great Talmud Chacham. It's silly to even say, I mean, Yeshua. But Yeshua was too close for comfort, too close to Moshe Rabbeinu, too much a part of that world of Nevuah. There needed to be, on some level, a break from the Moshe Yehoshua ticket. To be a break from that. To begin something different, which is Torah Shebaal Peh. So now we have Asniel ben Kenaz, who is not part of the Shalshalas of Nevuah. Asniel ben Kenaz, a genius. And Chazal tells us that Asniel ben Kenaz was the one who led the campaign in the Beis Medrash through days and nights of learning and using human logic to restore the halachas that were missing. That Asniel was zoicha doesn't mean only Asniel, but Asniel led the malacha of Pilpul, and through the koch of Pilpul, they were able to go. He was able, together with the other chacham, to come to the maskanis halacha, to come back to those halachas. Now, what Rav Kook is now going to refer to is what we're told in Tanakh. Asniel married the daughter of Kalev. Asniel married the daughter of Kalev ben Yefuna. And her name is Achsa. And we're told in Tanakh that her father asked her, what did she want? And she said, Havali bracha, ki eretz ha-negev nisotani. You don't have it, it's not written here. She said, Havali bracha, the territory that Asniel married, Asniel married the daughter of Kalev, and her father, Kalev, asked, what would you like me to give you? Sounds like what gift can I give you? So she said that Havali bracha, I'm asking you for a bracha. What's the bracha? Something specific. Ki eretz hanegev nisotani. Because the place that you have given me, that you have given me to live, meaning the color that you have given me to live, is the Negev, in the area of the Negev, which is dry. I'm asking you to give me gulos mayim, pools of water. In other words, where you've given us to live, it's hard. So we need a place where there's gulos mayim, where there's water, pools of water. V'yitin l'kolev, so it says in Navi, v'yitin l'kolev is gulos ilis ves gulos tachtis. It's an absolutely astonishing thing. Where are these pools? It says that Kalev gave her, his daughter and son-in-law, Asniel. Asniel, remember, is the genius that was working out all the halachas. So Kalev gives them a gift of gulais ilis ves gulais tachtis, the upper pools of water and the lower pools of water. Gulais ilis ves gulais tachtis. That's what it says in the Bible. That was the gift. So Rav Kook writes, the next to last line over there, V'hainu, Shenosun lai gulais ilis v'gulais tachtis. That Asniel and Achsa, his wife, received the upper pools and the lower pools as a gift. Behind the Shnosna Gulas, Ilis of Gulas Tachtis, Negit Shnei in Yoni Habirur, which correspond to the two the two clarifications, the two levels of birur of Torah. Mashashayach l'seichel ha'artzi ha'egyoni, that which belongs to the human intellect of this world, which is the lower pool. O mashashayach l'seichel ha'elyon shel hashpoas ha'nevuah v'ruach ha'kodesh, and the upper pool, which is the world of nevuah and ruach ha'kodesh. And he explains what happened there in Navi. The whole thing is unbelievable. This business of the sneel. Where is this? No, I didn't know. I just wrote it down. It's in the first. I mean, it's in the first paragraph of Shoftim. I don't know what pasuk. Yeah.
Not in Yeshua.
No, the first paragraph is the first paragraph of Shoftim, but I don't remember which pasuk it is. So what happens then? So it says in Navi, if you're following, it's a little bit complicated, but it says in Navi that if Yeshlemer Dahainu Hakar Ulakida the Amakra. So it says there in Navi that not only was Asniel a warrior of Torah, which doesn't say clearly in Tanakh what he was learning. This whole thing is we find in Chazal. But he was a great warrior. He was a great military warrior. And it says, Tulashinus. It says, Hakar and Lakida. Hakar means to clap. In English they usually say smite, to give a clap. So, all those funny words in. And Lakida. Lakida means to take in. It means to gather together, to come together, to take. So Yeshem da Hainu Hakar Lakida Damakar. It says in Pasuk, Vayilachemu b'nei Yehuda b'Yerushalayim v'yilkedu oisav yakuha lefi charev. It says over there in Navi that they fought Vayilachemu b'nei Yehuda b'Yerushalayim. They fought for Yerushalayim, v'yilkedu oisa, and they took Yerushalayim, v'yakua l'fichav, and they killed the garden that were there. They killed them l'fichav by the sword. V'yilkeda asniel ben knaz, and he uses the lashon of v'yilkeda by asniel ben knaz in the context of the place, a place that's not that far from Yerushalayim, so about Yerushalayim, and Vayilkada, the place called Kiryat Sefer, which is the area of the modern day Kiryat Sefer. As I mentioned last week, it's an interesting name for a place, Kiryat Sefer. The town of the Sefer, of the book, Kiryat Sefer. So if Cook writes, so what are these two things? You'll see, if you look there in the Navi, each time uses these two words. It always uses a lashon of haka, of vayakuha, of smiting, of killing, and lakida, vayilkada, which means to take. V'yeshlem b'dahainu haka lakida damakra. The haka and the lakida correspond to the higher pools and the lower pools. V'amar hakosiv rabusa. And the Pasuk the Navi is telling us something new, adding something to our understanding. Da'afilu ha'gemar sha'acha haras tzidei ha'safek ha'pi'iyun ha'seichel she'yev shalias mukhra me'ashamayim. There are two parts of the halachic discussion. Two parts when it comes to learning the halacha. One is the pilpul, meaning the discussion and the debate, working through the subject, trying to get to the halacha. So the derech ha-pilpul, and then of course you have the actual maskana, the halacha, right? The final conclusion. What's the psak? That's how we learn to this day. You can learn the sugi in the Gemara the whole week. That doesn't mean that you have the halacha, right? The halacha needs a birur, what the halacha is. When you're learning the pilpul, when you're learning the derech pilpul, you're trying to cover all sides of the suffix. You're trying to get to the bottom of the question to clarify the issue. But the actual halacha, see, you can have a person who's a tremendous lamdan, but he doesn't know the Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't know what the halacha is. You can have a person who learned in yeshiva and learned in kollel for 25, 30 years, and he doesn't know how to set up a blech on Shabbos. The wife takes care of it. Because they told the wife, when she was in seminary, they said, do this, do this, do that. And he's saying this, it's a machloikas, the Ran and the Rashba. And she says, it's because Shabbos is in 20 seconds. You want to tell me what I got to do? He says, oh, that's a machloikas, the BCS. She says, oh, okay. She just takes out her notes and says, nothing for that. So he's holding by Iran and a Rashba and a Ritzvah, and he's a machloikas from Moshe of Shlomo Zalman. And she says, okay, that's very, very nice. What do you do? You're not telling me what to do. So, there are two sides, there are two parts to pilpul in halacha. There's the actual pilpul, achloikis, Rambam and Tosfos, Rambam and Ravid, there's a Ran, there's a Ritva and so on, machloikis. And then there's the maskana. Then there's the psak halacha. So, with Osniel ben Knaz, the conquest of halacha, but the conquest that took place was absolute, it was final. The conquest was complete. It wasn't just that he was a murdik chacham and had tremendous kach ha-pilful, and they argue and he's saying all kinds of fancy lumdis and working through the sveikas, but that he was left with a suffik, and that suffik was not kahal, and that it came out not chalila, not kahalacha. No, that's not what it was. It was the gulais ilis and the gulais tachtis. Meaning, the gulais tachtis was the arguments in the bismedrash, human logic and pilpul, the lower pool. What is God's will? That's the higher pool, right? What does God want us to do? How do you put the? What do you do with the blech? Or else it's going to be chil Shabbos over here. What do you do? So you might think that Osniel ben Knaz, that the victory or the conquest of the Chacham at that beginning of Torah Shavuot, you might think that Hashem had nachas and Hashem sat back and he was watching his children in the Beis Medrash going back and forth. It's like this mutter also tamei tahor. Hashem is enjoying his children like we do when we see our children learning, and Hashem as well was enjoying the halachic debate. But then HaKadosh Baruch would say, at the end, HaKadosh Baruch would have said, I'm so proud of you, I have such nachas in you, such tamei chacham. But I got to tell you that the halacha is, that's not the halacha. I'm enjoying very much the lamdas, but in terms of halacha, you got it wrong. That's not what happened. It could have happened. Me'eis Hashem ha'isazayis. Me'eis Hashem ha'isazayis. But remember, all the time HaKadosh Baruch is watching, And he's in a very, very mysterious way, he's making sure things go right. But not in a way that was obvious or clear. All the men felt in the Beis Medrash was screaming and yelling and fighting, the way that we do. That's all they felt. And that's all they were doing. Squeezing their brains, trying to get to the bottom of things. Back and forth. So arguing, Tomei, Tara, this, that. Back and forth. So those are the lower pools of water. Those are lower pools of water of this world. Human beings hurrying and learning, struggling and learning, trying to understand the stodim, the two sides, and trying to figure it out. Those are the lower pools. It says that that Osniel ben Knaz was not only was there a hakar, not only that he killed, but he took vayilkedem, which means to. That's why they call the party Likud, the party of unity. Every name, if anything political in Eretz Yisrael, is satire. So there are two things. There's the smiting, and there's the taking completely, taking over completely. So when it, with Asniel ben Knaz, you might think that perhaps all that took place was with the Koch HaPilpul, they made a big, there was a tremendous, tremendous Ritzicha, like they killed the enemy, so to speak, meaning that it was, that they were, that in the lumdus of the arguments and so on, that they were working out the Tzidei HaSov, the study HaSovik, the sides of the Sovik. The Yilkada, Lachdua means completely, Ki HaSeifer, Yushalayim, Ki HaSeifer, the place of the book. Torah Shabbat Peh was taken. Was taken meaning the gift of the Gulais Ilis and the Gulais Tachtis of the higher pools and the lower pools, meaning not only were they successful, was Asniel successful, and the Chachamim at that time successful in the Koch of Pilpul, in the brilliance of the logic that was used in arguing and debating the subjects of these halachas, but vayilkedu, alachdua, they took it, meaning the halach, they came to the halach, they came to the halach. Let me just finish this paragraph. So let me just finish his words here in 1 second. Bishop Dainu Akar Lakida Damakra, Vamakosu Rabusa, Da Fila Gmash, Acher Haras, Side Hasafik, Al Piyuna Sechel, Shay Epshalias Mukham Shamayim. When it came to the Halacha, Hakash Baruch would have said, I'm proud of you guys, the Pilpul's Gevaldik, Tomei Tor, Mutta Osir, but now it's my turn, the Halacha is like this, Mutta Osir, Osir, Mutta Tomei, Tomei, like in the short answer. That, all of the essays were gewaldic, and Hashem said he had an A+ gewaldic, everything. But the halacha, what's my will? My will? What you should do? How you put the blech? My will? That's my business. Hashem didn't do that. Still, Hashem is silent. And it's not like they weren't looking for some signs from Shemayim. Hashem is silent. And that's what Cook explains. And as we're going to learn, there are times that Hashem does say, does get involved. We're going to learn about that. On a deep level, he's always involved. Always. Sometimes obvious, more obvious, sometimes less obvious. That's what we're going to be learning now. Hashem allowed Asniel to complete the job, vayilkada, to take completely the town, to take the Torah completely with the Koch HaPilpul. It had to be at that time. It had to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom, made everything go in that way. The Moshe Rabbeinu, and what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu, the halachas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, no. And they wanted, they came to, Chazal say, they came to Yeshua. And they said to Yeshua, that's what the Gemara says, they came to Yeshua and they said what? Who remembers what the Gemara says? Sha'al! They came to Yeshua and they said to him directly, Sha'al! Sha'al Azlu means what? Okay, Frank, ask. Go ask. You're Yeshua. You never left his side. You're a Navi. Go ask. Sha'al! Hashem Shabbat didn't want that. Shabbat, nothing. Gornish Magornish. Quiet. Everything was quiet. Just like the moon stopped, and the bear stopped, and the cloud disappeared. Because Baruch said, you're on your own. I'm with you. I'm watching. I'm going to look out for you. It's going to be okay. But you got to ride the bicycle on your own. You got to grow up. So at that point in time, the bureau had to be by the chacham in the way of Torah Shabbat Peh, Api Seichel, and that's the deeper meaning of the upper pools of water and the lower pools of water. Since everybody knows that Ein Mayim Ela Tyra, water is always a code word for Tyra, and the upper pools and lower pools. Where are these upper pools and lower pools? You ever see that in the teal someplace? It's upper pools and lower pools. The upper pools and the lower pools of water, meaning the Torah, the Psak Halacha, which is the higher pools, the Ratzon Hashem and Shemayim, and the lower pools, which is human intellect and wisdom. Uba'isa HaDerech, Rav Kook writes, Hamisala me'al netuchei hasvaris apshutais at shepoina alntias haharis aliyanis yesh no gam kein min oimek sechli. Shemakomakom ein derech lefarshu bechasim es talmud v'mosul tamirchom maskilim b'seichel toiv. Rav Kook says that if one rises higher above the simple svaris, the simple logic, he's going to eventually come to a place where in that place there's the logic of Shemayim. There's something higher. Ha'aris al yayinus. Yesh no gam kein min oimek sechli. But it's also a min oimek sechli, the deepest intellect. Now, what he's saying here, we're going to pick up on now, he's going to explain. What he's saying here is that the truth is that, what Rav Kook is saying is that in all learning, in the Seichel, in the Oimek Sichli of the Chachamim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets himself in. Baruch Hu gets himself in. In the Oimek HaSeichel of the Chacham, in the Siyata Deshmaya that they have. In the Oimek, it's not like you have a brilliant scientist or a brilliant historian, where it's completely Seichel Anashi. A brilliant scientist or brilliant historian, it's completely human intellect. It's Seichel Anashi. But when it comes to Chachmei Torah who have the qualifications to be part of the Mesarev Torah Shebal Peh, by Chachmei Torah, it's not pure Seichel Anashi. It's not purely human intellect. Although in the life of the Beis Medrash, in the life of the Yeshiva, it's felt as pure human intellect. It's experienced as pure human intellect. In the life of the university, Lahavdol, it's human intellect and it's experienced as human intellect. In the life of the Beis Medrash, it's experienced as human intellect, but it's something other than, or in addition to human intellect. It's only the Torah. The Kesh Baruch, in a very, very remarkable and mysterious way, guides us and directs us towards Mashiach. And that trip, that journey to Mashiach, requires that we live a certain way. And that certain way is called halacha. Like the word halicha, halichas oilam loy. I think halichas ala halachas, that we not go away from that road. So Kadosh Baruch Hu has a way of working it through the oimek hasichli, the deepest intellect of the chachamim, the deepest seichel of the chacham. You see, even. Just now is the shloshim from Rabbi Radio Sezer Tzadik Levracha that I mentioned before, and anybody who is speaking about that tzadik knows that you could say officially it was seichel anoshi. I mean, it's Tosh Nayin Dal. This is 2013. We're not talking about stories about the Middle Ages. So officially, the breadth of his knowledge was seichel anashi, was human intellect. If you could find a way to explain how in 2013 the human mind can encompass what his mind encompassed, how it was possible for a human being to know what he knew without there being some kind of a inyan from Shemayim. They said HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that to remind us, even now, even though it's a hestaponim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent such a person into the world, because now we don't have him, so we have to see. But Yibadu Mechaim L'chaim, the seichel of Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky and the seichel Yibadu Mechaim L'chaim of Rabbi Avad Yosef is not a seichel anushi. I mean, you could say again, if you put them in, if Chalila, they'd be tested in some experiment, and they would interview Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, and they would see that the man has millions and millions and millions of millions of things memorized, and it's all open to him. Millions of details, and not just the details, but all the pilpulim and so on. So they could say that, yeah, we read that there was a professor like this, that, you know, Einstein, I already told you that that Einstein's student, when he met the Rogachev, he said that the Rogachev has in his little toe, he says, I don't know what he said, 10 Einsteins, 100 Einsteins, he says, in his little toe. That's what Einstein's student said when he met the Rogachev. When he gave the Rogachev the work, that the whole mathematical thing that he was working on his whole life, I forgot the professor's name, he's a Jew. And he went because his parents were from Dvinsk, and he went there because of the yard sign. He wanted to meet the Rogachev. So he went into the Rogachev, and he gave his whole life's work. And the Rogachev was moving the pages, and he said, this is what you do for a panos. Why don't you go learn a little bit? What are you doing? And he right away, they slugged this up and slugged that up. It was a seichel and a she. It was a seichel and a she. Lubavitcher of Yisrusi Yelainu. It was a seichel and a she. It wasn't something from this world. So there was enough of that. There was enough that you could say that in Teva, in nature, there can be such a mind. There can be such a mind. But whenever they talk about it, they talk about, yes, we know such things from 200, 300 years ago. But there was a mind that Rabbi Avadia said that he knew Kol HaTorah Kula. Everything, all the Rishonim, Achronim, Shalos, and Shuvos, they never even heard of these Shalos and Shuvos. He found them someplace in a library in Tunisia. I don't know where he found these things. And he knew everything by heart. Completely. Everything by heart. He used to have a radio show. I remember when I lived in Eretz Yisrael, there was a radio show. And they would ask him Shilas. People would call up. Yeah, and they would call him up, and he would say, he wouldn't just say where it is. He says, "Kein zeh b'chatam sofer." And he would say, "Where the chatam sofer? What page it was?" And he would say, "Zeh shura ha'asidit shama milamala, the 10th line." And he would start to say it. He didn't have people just called up. It's not seichel anashi, but officially it is seichel anashi. And if you ask, if you would have asked Rabbi Avadia Yosef, if you would have asked him to God ever talk to you, he would say, "Ma atam demeshtiyo." I never had nevuah, never anything. I worked hard on that. And can we masik what the Rogachev was? Do you masik what the Rogachev? The Rogachev was not a long time ago. It's something different. Akash Baruch was involved. Now how that is, see, he just says, let's just say somebody had something to say. Nimtzenu made them, so that's the end of where we're learning from that letter right now. But Nimtzenu made them Shoshoyne Ma'od Mahusa Keshe Ben Hashros HaNevuah B'Torahs Chutz La'aretz L'Torahs Eretz Yisrael. There's a big difference between Torahs Chutz La'aretz and Torahs Eretz Yisrael. B'Torahs Eretz Yisrael Yesh Mokem L'Sarvus HaNevuah. What Rav Kook is writing, the main point of this letter that Rav Kook was writing to the Doros HaRishonim was when it comes to Torahs Eretz Yisrael, Yesh Mokem L'Sarvus HaNevuah B'Kviyas HaEmes HaEmes HaLimudis. There is a place for Nevuah. Nevuah does play a role in learning and establishing the halacha in Eretz Yisrael. Again, not that first, not that first generation, and even then, but it wasn't obvious. Kama ve'eich, in what way and how? Oid nira behemshech. We'll see now as we move along. Ach kivun kvar barur. The direction that we're heading in is already clear. Medubakan b'teres sichlis hayinekis koicha megilin nevuah. We're talking about human intellect that is affected by. That is affected by prophetic revelation. It's not that Kadosh Baruch Hu talking in such a way. This is the halacha. That's not how it happens. It's by Kadosh Baruch Hu in a very, very sublime and mysterious way, planting seeds in the seichel and the she, in the human intellect of Chachmei HaTorah, in a very, very, very mysterious and sublime way. It's not open, outright revelation like by Har Sinai. That's finished. And the curtains are closed. As far as that's concerned, the who has ended. But as we'll see in the Ramban later on about Abbasra and other places, we'll talk about this, that Afa Pisha Nevuah Nitla Nevuah Min HaNevim Adayim Yishtapsh Bebasko. Afa Pisha Nitla Nevuah Min HaNevim, even though Nevuah has been taken from the prophets, we no longer have open prophecy. Adayim Yishtapsh Bebasko. We still have a Koch of Basko, a voice from Shemayim. What's the voice? Again, we don't hear a voice. Nacham didn't hear voices. There were Magidim, there were such in Yonah of Malachim, but that's not how Torah works. Voices. Meaning, Chachmas Halev. There was a voice from within the heart of the Talmud Chacham that entered into his mind, and that voice was the voice of God. that would see to it that, that his Torah, that his will would be kept, that would lead us to Mashiach. Somebody wanted to say, I'm sorry, Yeshua.
Osniel in college, it seems like Osniel already had the Koach HaBilvul before. So why did college give him the higher water and the lower water? Why wasn't just the Ruach HaKodesh?
Because at that time, that's when the victory was revealed, was complete, when it was finished, when he was done, both with the physical conquest of those places, because every single place in Eretz Yisrael corresponds to a part of Torah. That's what the Avi Nachal talks about in Parshas Shlach. Every single part of Eretz Yisrael. It's not like here. It's nothing. What does it mean? Wood me bulvas chamagunus. But it's a place in God's world, but it's not. It doesn't mean anything. But in Eretz Yisrael, every single piece of Eretz Yisrael corresponds to a Gemara, to a Rashi, to a Tosis. So when you conquer a piece of Eretz Yisrael, it means that there's more Torah. Ki as Sefer. At that time, that was the conquest that was completed, and this had to be revealed at that time. It wasn't even though he had the koach of that before, but it hadn't yet become revealed. It didn't emerge in his life and the life of Am Yisrael, the conquest. Only when the conquest was complete, Vayakua, Vayilkadua, so then that koach of which was waiting to be revealed became revealed. Before that, it wasn't yet known. It wasn't known. Yeah.
It was called exactly to give the bracha because he was, you know, the Meraglim didn't have that special protection like Yeshua ben Nun from Moshe Rabbeinu. So
yeah, there's a very big reason why this Dafka came through Kalev, Shem Tzadik talks about a lot. Why Dafka is connected to the Meraglim. Yeah, well, it's not to go into right now, it's really. But it's a very big connection with the whole sugi of the Meraglim. Because the Meraglim wanted to stay in Chutzlars. Right. The Meraglim wanted to stay in the Midbar. Kalev, Eretz Yisrael. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua and Kalev. It's Eretz Yisrael. This Torah is Eretz Yisrael. It had to be with Yeshua and Kalev, the whole Indian. But we'll talks a lot about these things. Okay, we'll continue next week.